Because it's Rosh Hashanah, we take a break from our studies in 1 Timothy and consider a psalm that's in keeping with the Jewish New Year, the Feast of Trumpets. Psalm 27, the godly man's refuge. Psalm 27. I'm going to read the psalm and bring some meditations on it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore will I offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Here we have the psalm, which we can divide up into four sections. The first three verses are a song of assurance in time of distress and of danger. The next three verses, from verse 4 to 6, speak of blessings in the midst of trials. Verse 7 through 9, a prayer for help. And from verse 10 to the end, God our ever-present refuge. We're going to look at David's aspirations, David's predicament, and God's remedy. First of all, David's aspirations. He says in verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. It was that one thing that David wanted. In Psalm 84 in verse 10, David says, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. David's aspirations, despite all other circumstances he might find, there is one thing supremely that he coveted: to dwell in God's house, to behold God's beauty, to inquire in his holy temple. To behold the beauty of the Lord. In Psalm 29 and verse 2 we read, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So the beauty of the Lord is the holiness of God. And David wanted to see the Holy One of Israel and to inquire in his temple. In Psalm 42, David says, verse 2, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" David's aspiration, he had many ambitions, but this was supreme, and that was to dwell in God's house, to behold God in the beauty of holiness, and to inquire in his temple. Verse 8, another of his aspirations in Psalm 27, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" Another of David's aspirations was a desire to seek God, and as Olivia put it so well, a desire to seek him. Prayer. The primacy of prayer. In Psalm 10 in verse 17, David speaks about God hearing the desire of the humble. Not the voice, not the prayer, but the very wish. When we wish a wish in our hearts that's a good one, God hears it as clearly as though it had been spoken aloud. And here is the Psalm, Psalm 10, verse 17, which underlines that truth. "Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear." God hears our desires before we have expressed them, before we have been able to articulate them. God has already read our minds, understood our thoughts, heard our thoughts. David's desire was to seek God. And then in verse 11 of Psalm 27, a third aspiration was to learn the ways of God. "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." A desire to learn God's ways. God had said in one of the Psalms, "I will teach you and instruct you in the way that you shall go. I will guide you with my eye upon you." And that's what David desires here, to learn the ways of God. And lastly, implicit trust in God in verse 13. He says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." It was that belief that in this life he would behold the goodness of the Lord that kept him from fainting. "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living," means here on earth. So here are David's aspirations. The one thing above all other, a desire to seek God, to learn God's ways, and to trust God implicitly. But then we come to David's predicament. His enemies were seeking his life. He says in verse 2, "When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell." Those enemies might have included Saul, king of Israel, might have included the Philistines that took him in Gath. It might have included Absalom, his own son, who was out to murder him and seize the throne. Whatever it was, David says, "When the wicked came against me, they stumbled and fell." His predicament was that he was beset by enemies out to destroy him. He is also being besieged by hostile forces. He says in verse 3, "Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." And what he means by the word "this" is what he had said in verse 1. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. David's predicament also included a sense of desertion. He wondered whether God had deserted him. In verse 9, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." It was a prayer that he prayed all his life, and it is a prayer that God answers through Moses, "I will not fail you, I will not forsake you." But it was his predicament that at the moment he was laboring under a sense of desertion, and then also there was slander from false witnesses. Verse 12, "Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence." David's predicament was fourfold: enemies seeking his life, besieged by hostile forces, a sense of desertion, and being slandered by false witnesses. What's God's remedy? We come to the third section in our meditation. And at this point, maybe one of the deacons can go down and tell the Shabbat school children that in 5 minutes we'll be sounding the shofar. What is God's remedy? God's remedy was, God gives light, God gives strength, and God gives salvation. Verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life." God is also our unfailing refuge. Verse 5 and 6, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High," says the psalm, "shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." God's remedy is his light, his salvation, his strength. He is also our unfailing refuge. Verse 10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." Here is an assurance that when he's deserted by those from whom he would expect the most love and loyalty, when he's let down by his nearest and his dearest, perhaps through no fault of their own, God steps in and rescues him. It could be that David's family were afraid of being associated with him because Saul was after David. And when Saul went after David, he went after anybody that was an ally of David. So God's deliverance, mercies and deliverances. Verse 12, "Do not deliver me to the will of my enemies. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And lastly, courage for the fainting heart. God gives courage for the fainting heart. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Spiritual progress and spiritual conflict are inseparable. But we persevere in all our trials through ongoing, regular, personal communion with God. These experiences are absolutely necessary, and therefore God permits them. Well, may God bless that meditation to our hearts. We'll ask the children and the teachers to come in, and we'll ask Steve to come and blow the shofar for us on this, the third day of the Feast of Trumpets. The trumpet is to call us all to God, to call us all to repentance as a token of the promise of God that one day He'll blow his trumpet and reassemble all his people, Israel. And after the sounding of the shofar, I will pronounce the priestly blessing. Steve. Shall we stand for the blessing? Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Adonenu. Amen. We have a closing song, and after that, please join us downstairs.